It has been called by Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, a poor man's dearest, kindest, and best friend. It's been called by Greek philosophers the healer of deadly ills, the debt we must all pay. It's been called by Henry Longfellow the consoler, the thing that could heal the heart forever. It's been called by John Dryden, a poet, the best of thieves who can steal us from ourselves. And the subject is death. Like it or not, admit it or not, accept it or not, the reality of each one of our lives is that we are speeding toward our date of death. And when death comes, what we did with our lives stands forever. We give ourselves to accomplishing our goals, our objectives, our will. We lose rewards just like Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Issachar. If we give ourselves to accomplishing God's goals, God's objectives, God's will, we earn rewards just like Judah and Zebulun and Dan and Naphtali and Joseph and Benjamin. All of these sons had a first-rate example of one totally dedicated to God, their father Jacob. Jacob was no sinless saint in life. In fact, his life was spotted with some dark episodes of failure and sin. But he eventually got it all resolved, and he leaves behind a remarkable example of one dedicated to doing God's will. And the one who will be honored forever is the one who stayed focused on God and his word and his program right until that moment of his death. And there are three facts about Jacob's death that we want to clearly see from this text, which truly do show us a glorious way to die. Jacob believed death would mean a gathering to his people. Look at the first part of verse 29 of Genesis 49. Then he commanded them and said, I am to be gathered to my people. Jacob believed death for him would mean he would go to Sheol and be gathered with other Old Testament saints. Sheol was a place that contained two chambers, the upper chamber, which is the place of comfort known as Abraham's bosom, and the lower chamber, which is the place of torment, commonly referred to as Hades. Jacob was not afraid of death. He viewed it as a moment in which he would be gathered to his people. He would be able to see Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Rachel and Leah. Death for Jacob was nothing to fear. It was something he looked forward to. And one who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior need never fear death. Death for the believer means it is an opportunity to be reunited with loved ones of like precious faith. Death for a believer means to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. But Jacob believed the location of his burial was critical. Look at the end there of verse 29. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. Jacob was very specific as to where he wanted to be buried. In fact, he already informed Joseph of this desire. So this is no new revelation. It was a re-emphasized revelation. Before all of his sons, he's requesting that they take him back to the land of Canaan and bury him in the cave of Machpelah. Now, why is this so important to Jacob? What is so significant about this spot? Jacob did not in any way think this would get him some better angle from which he could enter heaven. The request has everything to do with Jacob's belief in the Word of God. Clear back in Genesis 15, God promised Abram that he would eventually give him this land. While Abraham was in this land, Sarah died, and Abraham fully believed that this was the land God had promised. So he asked Ephron if he could purchase the land for his place of burial. This was the Hebron area in the land of Canaan. Abraham believed that someday he and his seed would be raised up to inherit this land promised to him by God. Evidently, Jacob feared that some of his sons might get so caught up with the Egyptian world that they would forget about their promised land. So he specifically requests that he be taken back to Canaan and buried there. And this request proves Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob died believing in a literal specific land promised to Israel. This request proved Jacob was focused on the future program of God until the end of his life. This request proves Jacob was focused on communicating to his children the things of God right until the moment he died. And this request proves that Jacob believed in a future resurrection because he wanted to be raised with his loved ones in their promised land. And then we see that Jacob died after making a powerful statement for God. Look at verse 33. When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. And we must remember that Jacob's old. He's 147 years old. He's sick. He's very weak. To sit up on his bed this last time in order to pronounce these judgments, plus to make a final request, was an amazing demonstration of faith, plus, in God's mind, a form of worship. Jacob dies as a faithful hero. When he was all done, he curled back up into bed and died. His body was left behind, but he was gathered to his people. His last visible act, which his sons saw, was a father worshiping God. And unless the rapture occurs first, death is a debt we will all pay. We want to be honored in glory. We must stay focused on God's word and committed to God's doctrines. Keep active, faithful in your church. Pursue righteousness. Use your substance, your energy, your time to do work for God. Stay faithful to God, even in weakness, illness, or old age. If you do that, regardless of some poor decisions you've made all along, you'll finish like Jacob and be honored forever.